Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, it's Radio City Talk. It's Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Welcome to the program. Got a really great guest in the studio this week who's going to be telling us about the work that she's been doing within the mindfulness field for a number of years now, actually. Nicola Forshaw is from MindFit and she joins us on the program today. Nicola, thank you for your time. Great to see you.
Thanks, Mick. Great to be here.
Hey, not a problem. Great to have you with us. You've been on a really fascinating journey yourself. It's kind of got, obviously, the mental health side of things. You've had an interesting career before that. Mindfulness, very much part of the work you do now. And speaking to many different types of organisations to spread the word about mindfulness. What does mindfulness mean to you, do you think?
So, put very simply, mindfulness is present moment awareness. So it's about knowing what you're thinking while you're thinking it, knowing what you're feeling while you're feeling it. It's all about awareness of the mind, how you think, how you feel, and also not just internally but externally as well, having that awareness for the present moment, so truly being in the now.
What are we doing wrong then at the moment? What are we doing wrong in our lives whereby we're not able to do that? Because you've just described the most simple thing. When you see something, look at it. When you hear something, hear it. You know, when you taste something, taste it.
Yeah.
What's going on then? What's going on in our lives?
We are living too much in either the past or the future. So if you watch your mind very carefully, you are either worrying about the past. Why did I say that? Why did you do that? Why did that happen? Oh, it's happened again. Yeah. And that can lead to, you know, you just being stuck in past mental thinking, or we're worrying about the future. What's to come? Have I got enough for Christmas? What am I doing next year? Are my children going to be okay? Am I going to be able to pay the mortgage? And we go into future thinking. So while we're dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, we're missing out on the present moment, which is all we've really got. So it's about noticing the mind, checking in with it, seeing where the mindset is, and then coming back, if you can, to the present moment, to the here and now. But I think it's two parts. That's not the only reason why we're getting lost, because we're in past or future mindset. That's one of the biggest reasons we're not living in the now. But I also think the busyness of life is pulling our attention constantly away from the present moment, away from the now. So we're not able to enjoy the foods we're eating. We're not able to take in the scenery, the nature, the beauty all around us, because we're constantly in the mind. For example, just walking to work, the simple act of walking to work, you're in the mind. If you watch your mind very closely, it's what do we need to do today? Where do we need to be? Who do we need to see? Am I on target? Am I doing well? Do people like me? What am I having for the tea? Are my kids okay? Oh God, I've left my kids crying in school. And we're consumed by all that. When, if we checked in and just noticed that and bring ourselves back to just here and now, feeling your feet on the floor, hearing the sounds of the traffic, the wind, noticing the sky, the sun, the buildings, the trees, the nature, the beauty, we're coming back into the now. And in the now, things tend to be okay. Not only okay, but we can take some joy, some beauty.
I wonder whether or not people listening to this will be thinking, well, you know what, I'm guilty of doing that.
Yeah.
But people feel like they sort of have to be guilty of doing it, because, like, I guess even built within our DNA, you've got to learn from your mistakes of the past, haven't you? So you've always got to bear in mind things that you know before. And I think by our very nature, we optimistically or pessimistically look to the future.
Yeah.
I guess when you did your training, you learned about this, about how the brain works. Is there something about your brain which is always trying to either preempt something, or
yes,
it's trying to remember something from the past, that it's built within us, that we're constantly flicking backwards and forwards?
Absolutely. So we, when you look at the neuroscience, what that tells us is in our DNA as humans, we tend to have an inbuilt negativity bias.
And that's the thing that keeps us alive a lot
it's
of the time.
It's the thing that keeps us alive. So we need it because the brain evolved to keep us safe, not to make us happy. So that's the first thing we need to know. We understand, we need, it's good. It keeps us safe. It keeps us alert for threat and danger. But the inbuilt negativity bias is too much against us because we tend to overestimate threat, danger, worry, challenge, difficulty, and we get stuck there. So what the scientists say is the brain is like Velcro for the negative. The negative sticks around so much more, and it's like Teflon for the positive. So any positive experiences just go over our head. We don't stay in them and savour them as much. So to level the playing fields of our inbuilt negativity bias, we need to take in the good more. We need to have this attitude of appreciation, of gratitude. And it all comes with slowing down and being present in the now. That's the only way we're going to enjoy anything, if we just come into the now instead of the constant mental chatter in the mind of what's next.
There's another element, we'll do social media now, because social media always comes up in these types of conversations, our obsession with kind of like presenting ourselves in a certain way. That's a slightly different thing. We talk about, you know, the past, the present, the future. The social media thing is that thing, isn't it, of in the present... Mm. Take photos so that you can, in the future, look back into the past and feel happy in a moment. It's quite a strange thing to do, isn't it? Like, let's take photos, like too many photos, I mean.
Yes.
So that in the future, we can look back and remember that this was a happy moment, as opposed to just enjoying the moment as it is at the moment. That's quite a strange thing. I was watching a documentary last night and somebody had 13 photographers at their wedding. And during the wedding day, like they didn't have their meal for like an hour and a half because they were too busy taking photos. So that when they look back at the day, they would go, oh, wasn't this a great day? Didn't we all enjoy it? When in reality, everyone was hungry because nobody had eaten for an hour and a half, so that in the future she could look back nostalgically and have a positive... And I thought that's quite a funny thing that your brain is trying to do with itself. And it's not a very simple thing. And I guess it might... end with a few people getting a little bit confused by it.
Yeah, it is confusing, but I think it's a lot of pretense. As you say, when that bride looks back with all these beautiful albums and pictures, the real experience is not of joy. So she's not even looking back on a joyful moment. She's looking back on stress and busyness. Okay, so the idea is, take a picture or two or three or four, but we have to level the playing fields. We have to stop and allow ourselves to fully enjoy that moment. So the question is, what would you rather have? The moment or moments of joy in that special day that you can carry with you forever? Or a set of gorgeous, fabulous, glossy pictures you look back on, but deep down you know, oh, God, we were stressed that day.
Do you think that maybe sometimes people think there's not enough in the now? The now is just basically what is, you know, this is how it is. But it's almost like people think, well, if I think about the future, I can think about great things that might come. Or if I look to the past, I can think of either great moments or I can think of difficult moments. And sometimes people think, well, is there enough value in thinking, well, I've got a nice bit of breeze on my face, or, you know, almost like people think that there's no value in that because it doesn't come with a, you know, with a swanky price tag, and it doesn't come with whatever. It might not be a, you know, a holiday to Barbados that you went on 3 years ago. There's almost not enough happening in the
now. I get that, but one of the most famous sayings is the best things in life are free. But we're not taking them in because we're so consumed with the way we present ourselves, the way we look, what we've got and what we need to have. Okay, so it is a training. I see what you're saying about, is there enough value in just being in the now? But the more you practice this way of being, this idea of mindfulness and just feeling that wind on your face, feeling the warmth of the sun on your face, fully being with your children when they're enjoying themselves, it's a practice, and the more you practice, the more you will value it, and that'll become a way of being, and it just helps you live a more balanced and happier life. I'm not saying don't ever, you know, think about the past or don't look to the future. Of course, we're only human and that's the way the brain works. We're just saying there's a way of being here that'll help us access happiness. The Dalai Lama talks about it. True happiness can only happen in the present moment.
Do you think, like, the system that we have in terms of go to work, earn money, pay the bills, buy the house, buy the car, you know, go on the holidays. Mm. It's a game of more, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you can get this now, but next month you can get more, you know. Mm. And then if you got this size TV, you can get a bigger TV. You know, mm. if you go on this holiday, you went for a week and go for 2 weeks. You know, there's this like game of more. And it's almost like something that's very difficult to walk away from. You got this much data on your phone, have a little bit more. Yeah. We live in a world, don't we, where it's always, well, you can be happy now, but what about more? You know, if your side finishes third in the Premier League, you're not thinking, great, third in the Premier League again next year will be absolutely hunky-dory. You're thinking, more, give me more, give me more of this. We're on the hunt for that all the time, aren't we?
We're on the hunt for happiness all the time and this wanting more. And that comes from a sense of lack within us. So we need to find how we fulfill ourselves on a deeper level. And then there'll be less need for more, more, more. Because we know when we get the bigger house, we're still not happy. We've got everything. We've got cars, houses, flats, apartments, holidays. But we're still not truly happy.
Is that a fear thing? Do you think people are sometimes a little bit afraid if they think, well, what if I do stop and think and try and appreciate the moment and I'm not happy? What if I don't like it? Maybe it's easier to live in the past or easier to put all your hopes on the future. Maybe that's one of the things that people are almost sort of worried about, how they see themselves if they were just to stop and appreciate or not a moment.
That is so true. And from my personal experience, I can really relate to that, because when you start with this practice and you're just coming back to connecting with yourself and coming into the now, you are like, oh God, I feel awful. I don't want to come into this. So I'll keep on layering it and burying it with all kinds of other things. But ultimately, you're never going to be truly happy.
True happiness, that's what we're selling on the programme today. We've got Nicola Forshaw with us in the studio from MindFit. She's a mindfulness expert. And Nicola, we're going to come on and talk about some of the work that you've done, because you had like a career before the work that you do now. You've turned it into MindFit. Just tell us about the idea behind MindFit. It's, I guess, what we've just been talking about, but how you do put it into practice.
Okay, so the idea for mindfulness, MindFit, just came because I wanted to improve mental well-being. So at the time, you know, going back 5 or 6 years ago when I started the business, nobody had heard of mindfulness. And mindfulness is one of the practices I use to improve my mental health. But back then it was all about physical fitness. What can I do to keep fit, to look good? So I wanted to say yes, but here we go. We need to improve our mental health. It's just as important for me, if not so more important, to have the good mental health. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people improve their mental health, mental well-being.
It's quite strange, isn't it, that it's something so simple, that we've talked about the simplicity of, yes, you know, the living in the moment and having those moments and enjoying those moments as well. But the fact, you know, you've set this up as a business, that you speak to organisations, and I guess they invite you in because they don't know this stuff. But you, and you know, a number of years training for this as well. Do you think there's something in this whereby, and this is not to talk you out of business, by the way, but that for future generations, our children should know more of this stuff before they suddenly go, you know what, we're going to have to get that Nicola Forshaw in because we don't know this stuff. Is it something you can teach children?
Most definitely. And mindfulness is going to come on the curriculum in state schools in the next, I don't know, I think it's 5 years. So I was part of a programme called the Myria Programme at Oxford University. It's a government-backed programme, and the idea is to bring mindfulness into state schools onto the curriculum. So my role in that was to train the teachers in mindfulness. So I taught them an 8-week mindfulness programme, so they'd have a foundation and an understanding of mindfulness, so then they could teach the children. and it is happening. There's some amazing work going on, even in this city. There's a school called English Martyrs in the city. They're leading the way. It's a primary school. So they teach the Pause B mindfulness programme to their pupils. That's going really well. I taught in my old school, Notre Dame in Everton Valley. So I taught I think it was year 10, just before they were going into their GCSEs. Just sitting listening to the girls. They've got the weight of the worries on their shoulders, and it's not to do with the work. It's to do with home life. It's to do with peer pressure, how they look, if they've got a hairdressing appointment booked for next week. This is the types of conversations that we were, you know, listening to. When we can, so they need to be able to have skills to improve, number one, resilience. They need to be able to cope with the ups and downs in life and be able to bounce back and have that understanding that you are going to struggle at times in life. That's inevitable. How do we deal with it? How do we come back? So we need to help our kids with, number one, resilience, but number two, focus and attention training. Attention is being hijacked all of the time with the social media. We need to give them tools to be able to come back and train their attention. Right, what am I doing now? And I think the last part, which is probably the most important part, is to be able to teach our children kindness and compassion. So to go from I to others, and mindfulness helps you do that.
What have you been mindful about today, Nicola? Can you give us a sense of maybe a moment that you've been able to enjoy today? We've got you in a slightly, to be honest, the studio's a little bit too warm and the brights are a little bit
and
too...
And I'm sitting with a big fur coat on, so maybe I should take that off. But yeah, the mindful moments this morning, had a hectic morning, as I usually do, school run, the busyness of that. Put my daughter into school. Her school's down by Crosby Beach. So after I've done that, I'm coming to the train station to come into here. I take those 10, 15 minutes to walk mindfully. It doesn't take me any extra time because I'm walking anyway. So all I do, Mick, is I just tune into the now. I just hear the sounds of the birds, the traffic, the train. I stop, I feel my feet on the floor. I just feel present. I know where I'm at, I know where my head's at. I breathe, I'm just practicing conscious breathing while I'm walking to the station. And you know what happens? It makes you feel good. So by the time I get to the station and I'm getting my ticket, I've got a smile on my face rather than being all stressed and busy like I was 10 minutes before.
Do you see people walking alongside you in the opposite direction who aren't walking mindfully, who are walking with, for many reasons, you know, the weight of the world on their shoulders that aren't able to do that?
Of course. And don't get me wrong, I'm not walking around mindfully every time my feet touch the floor. It's a practice. Sometimes I'll be walking busy or stressed. We're only human. But where I can, I'll drop into the practice because I know it can take me from being rushed, busy, negative state of mind to a very present, calm, focused state of mind. And where would we rather be?
When you speak to people about worrying about things or not worrying about things, how do we break that a little bit? Because people might think, well, I think about this that happened in the past because it was so important to me, or it was a particularly important moment for good or bad reasons. And I feel like I need to look to the future because that is where my hopes are. How do you kind of break that cycle in people and say to them, you know what, you can pause. You don't have to be obsessed with one thing or the other, or constantly thinking about one thing and the other. You can take that time to yourself to place value, if you like, on the present.
Yeah, it's all about balance. And that balance comes from watching the mind, observing your mind, having that awareness of your mindset. So coming back to my earlier point, knowing what you're thinking while you're thinking it. So if you notice the mind's in a very negative mind state, you're worrying about the past in a negative way, in a worrying way, in a way that's making you feel down, or fearful or resentful, it's at that point where you can ask yourself, does this thinking serve me well, or can I let it go? And we let it go by just coming back to the present moment, feeling your feet on the floor, taking a breath, pausing, getting a wider perspective of life, not just being stuck in past. And the same applies for the future. When the mind's very, very busy and you feel like you can't think straight, it's at that point, here we go again. Can I notice this and let it go? So awareness is key. Awareness creates choice. And that choice leads to positive change. So when we notice, if it's a very negative or busy or worrying mindset, we're not saying don't think. We are going to have past and future thoughts. But it's the unhelpful, unnecessary, negative thinking that we're trying to watch and let go of.
Do you find that when you have those mindfulness moments and mindful moments that you are able to sort of process things a little bit better? We talk about this quite a lot on the show about how, like, your brain is always switched on.
Yes.
And it's always going to be on. You've got to be thinking. And you don't have that moment to stop, pause, reflect, and almost defragment your brain. You know, like it's a hard drive in a computer. Do you find that when you've had those moments, the 10-minute walk, the 15-minute walk, that actually maybe thoughts that you were having half an hour ago suddenly make a little bit more sense? Worries that seem to be a big problem an hour and a half ago suddenly are seen from a different perspective?
Absolutely. And that's what it gives you. It gives you clarity because you're able to let go of the thoughts that don't serve you well. It also gives you perspective. You can see, you can let go of the small stuff that you're constantly feeding and worrying about, because we spend an awful lot of time just feeding the mind with negativity or worry, and it's that we've got to let go of. So yeah, when after any mindfulness practice I do, whether it's walk and mindfulness breathing, mindful eating or even meditation, there will be a change in mindset, a noticeable change in mind and body, where I feel a little bit clearer and a little bit calmer in the body. And I need it. That's why I practice.
You piqued my interest at mindful eating. Tell me about mindful eating.
Okay, so how do you normally eat?
Scoff.
Yeah, you haven't tasted the food. You haven't enjoyed the food. You've just rushed it. And probably in the mind, you're thinking, what's next? Work? Lunch even? What am I having for my tea? So just stopping and eating and enjoying the food and just, you know, taking that pause and just enjoying something that can nourish you in a way that the rushing and the busyness just makes you more fragmented, more busy, more, oh God, what? We're exhausting ourselves by rushing through everything.
This is the thing. Any parent will know this. Like most parents' meals are eaten sort of stood over the bin. Yeah. You know, you have that or you have feed them, then you get fed while they do something else. And yeah. It's yours has gone a little bit cold and you're warming up in the microwave. And then people who maybe eat on the go when they're at work as well, it's not about actually enjoying your food, is it? It's about get something down your neck because it's the last chance you're going
to
have.
Okay, so here's what I say to the people on my course, because I get this all the time. Oh yeah, Nicola, this also all sounds great, but I haven't got time to eat mindfully. I haven't got time. I'm busy on my lunch hour. You're busy in the mind, okay? So just see if you can just stop. And what I say to them is, that's fine, okay. Just practice eating one meal where you just stop. And you just be with the food and enjoy it and taste it and just slow your mind down. Tell me how that feels compared to how the rushed and busyness feels. And they come back time and time again. Oh, my Lord, I had a cup of tea or I had a meal. It was the best cup of tea, best spaghetti bolognese I've ever had. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The power is in the practice. You've got to practice these techniques to understand the benefits and the value in mindfulness. And then once that penny drops and you keep on practicing it, you think, do you know what? I'm fed up of eating over at the bin. I'm pushing everything down my mouth. I'm just going to give myself 2 minutes to just stop and enjoy a meal.
I heard a psychologist talking about why they thought that the Bake Off, the Great British Bake Off TV show, becomes such a popular thing when it's basically just a load of people cooking. And one of the things it always came back to was that few viewers would say it's the one moment in the week where the kids are gone to bed, 8 o'clock, they put it on, and it's an hour worth of things where it doesn't, like, there's not really jeopardy. Your flan rises or it doesn't rise, or your bread goes to pot or it doesn't, you get a handshake or you don't. So the stakes aren't really that high, but also it's that one moment where people can sit down with a cup of tea and a biscuit and just kind of enjoy
and just relax
a little bit of a moment.
Yeah, and just relax and enjoy something, just stopping and, yeah, allowing yourself, giving your self permission to just stop and enjoy. We just need to do that a little bit more, not just when the Great British Bake Off's on.
exactly. As particularly now it's at the end of the series. Nicola Forshaw's with us from MindFit. Nicola, was there a time in your life where you thought, I need this, I need to get into this, I need to change this? You had a career before you were into the MindFit business.
Yes, so I was in sales and business development for almost 15 years.
Notoriously low stress environment there, I don't think.
Well, the opposite, isn't it? It's fully, you know, stress, pressure, target driven. It's competitive and it's negative. And in the end, it was just eating away at me. And I couldn't cope with the stress. And it wasn't just, if I'm honest, it's not just the work pressure that brought me to this. I was also feeling unhappy in my own personal life. I was single. I was in debt. I've always had this idea that, oh, I don't fit in. You know, where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I? The same as most people have. And it just led to being stressed, depressed, lonely, unhappy, and feeling empty, feeling that sense of, you know, what am I, who am I? I'm feeling like I had nothing and no one, and that's a low place to be. And then someone gave me a book called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And up until that point, I'd never done a meditation or mindfulness, but there was an exercise in that book called The Heart of the Rose, where you did an exercise every day for 21 days. I didn't even know I was practicing mindfulness or meditation, but I did that practice and it changed my life.
That's quite something then, that you had a high-powered business, high-powered job within, you know, the business world, and things were on the go constantly all the time. And actually the thing that you were able to do, outside of obviously bringing in a book, was in within yourself. The change was kind of within yourself, and that's quite a powerful message, isn't it, to come from that
story? It's so powerful, and it was a profound moment, actually, Mick. It was a moment halfway through the exercise, say it maybe on day 9, 10, 11, I can't remember now, it was 10 years ago, but I had a profound moment watching the Heart of the Rose. You're watching this rose every day change halfway through the practice. I had that profound thought, I can change too. While I'm watching this rose change, the smell, the shape, the colour, the scent, everything about this rose was changing day after day, and it was becoming more beautiful as it got older. So halfway through this exercise, I had the profound moment, I can change too. I can be happy. And from that moment, I've been studying and practicing mindfulness and meditation ever since. And I did it. I came to it because I needed it. I was looking for something. The book was given to me. But I didn't find the answers in the book. I found the answers in myself. And from that, as I say, I've been studying the subject for the last 10 years. And I still get stressed, I'm still busy, I'm still negative, I still worry and I still moan. But there's a massive difference in my mindset now. I also know how to be happier and take in more good, see good in people, be more positive and live a more fulfilling life. I'm much happier now than I've ever been.
I'm also wondering, what was the monk doing with a Ferrari in the first place?
You've got to read the book.
I've got to read the book. No spoilers.
I'll get
on this
you
program.
A copy for Christmas.
In terms of the training that you do now, tell us about some of the organisations that you've been in to speak to, Merseyside Police being one of them, I think.
Yeah, we've worked with over 100 organisations over the last 5 years, global companies, small companies, charities, schools, universities. Merseyside Police have come to be our biggest client. We've been working with them for over 3 years. Loads of their staff have been on our programmes. We run a 6-week mindfulness programme. So they come out of the workplace, they come to my space in the Cotton Exchange, and we learn the practice of mindfulness and meditation, how to be more resilient, how to let go of stress, worry, anxiety, depression, how to build a positive mindset, and how to be kind to ourselves and others.
I know the Chief Constable, Andy Cook, I've spoken to him about this very issue. He was well aware when he became the Chief Constable that mental health, from many different angles, were going to be one of the main issues facing the police, as it proved actually to be the case. One of his big focuses, of course, was on the actual officers themselves, because he could see the sick days that were building up, and he could see the reasons behind that. And he, with his sort of management team, thought, actually, this is an investment, a good investment for us to have, because it then reduces some of those workloads in the future.
Yeah, and it has been a good investment for them. That's why they continue to put people on the programme, because they can see the difference. People are going back to work who've been off long-term sick. But it's not just about that. It's about changing the culture in the organisation as well. And that is to get away from let's fix it when it's broke to having a more preventative strategy in place, so people can take care of themselves, their own mental health, their own well-being, their own positive mindset. And as I say, honestly, I just love working with them. The staff are absolutely brilliant. Some of the stories that we hear week in, week out, okay, what practice have you done this week? How are you finding it? It's life-changing for some people. I had a lady, I'm teaching a current programme at the moment. I gave them an exercise this last week to go out and do, to go out and be mindful for 10 minutes walking around. A lady come back 2 minutes into the exercise and said, I just want to come back. She never speaks up in the group. I just want to come back and take this opportunity now while no one else is here just to tell you this has been life-changing for me. I'm now able to cope. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm now able to cope in my personal life because of this practice. You can't ask for more than that. It's amazing. It's amazing for me to hear that. So, we're doing well.
I've got young children as well. I kind of get the sense that they've kind of got it down at the moment, young kids. I've got a 4-year-old girl. They absolutely live in the moment. Everything's about one moment to the next. And sometimes, you know, as a parent, when you're trying to preempt things that they want to do or might need to do, or where they need to be and all that, you kind of get caught up in it. We had a moment last night where we watched a film, Moana, good film. But at the end, she said, "Quick, Daddy, get up." And I was like, "Oh, what is it?" And she just wanted to dance to the song at the end. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'll just do that." And then we just had a little dance. And it was nothing more than, you know, a quick 3-minute spin around and spins and jumps and twists and all that kind of stuff. But I caught myself enjoying a moment.
This is what we're getting at, Mick. Just be in it. Go with it. That same type of thing will happen in loads of households. And a lot of parents will go, "No, enough now. Come on, bed." We need to just let go and go with them. They live in the now. They live in the moment. Just go with it and just enjoy something and see if you can just live in the moment a little bit more. And kids are a brilliant example for how to practice mindfulness.
Nicola, it's been brilliant to get you on the programme today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We're all going to be doing our mindfulness eating now. Mindful walking. We're just floating 2 feet off the air, off the ground. Mind-fit.co.uk is where people can find out more information. Is that right?
Yes.
And we'll get your links up on our social media as well. Mind-fit.co.uk. You find out more about Nicola there.
Mental Health Monday.
On Radio City Talk.
With Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.